I'd like to invite you now to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. This morning we are going to look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 21 through 23. So this is the final sermon from the book of Philippians. I've had a wonderful time going through this with you. We are going to do a short series through the book of Song of Solomon. So the plan is to do six sermons from Song of Solomon for the next 6 weeks, and then we'll get into starting a complete book after that. But today we're going to finish up Philippians by looking at the final greetings from Paul in verses 21 through 23. Before we hear God's word, if you would, join your hearts together with me in prayer. Our Father and our God, we are often weak and stumble in this life as a result of sin, as a result of the many trials and tribulations that we face in this life, both from outside of us and even from within us. And so we need the strength of your word to lift us up, to set us on our feet once again. And so we pray, Father, that by the power of your Spirit, you would revive us and strengthen us by the power of the gospel, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21, beloved, this is the word of God. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord remains forever. The final verses of Philippians ends in a very similar way to Paul's other letters. He gives final greetings and a blessing of grace, or a prayer for grace for this church, a benediction, if you will, at the end. Verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's a benediction. It's a word of blessing. We give one at the very end of our each one of our services on the Lord's Day. And so he gives a benediction and final greetings. By doing this here in this letter, he also ends the letter the way he began. Chapter 1, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There you see he opens with greetings and also with a prayer for blessing. Grace to you, peace from our Lord. Now, similar closings here would have been found in other Greek letters between people. We experience something like this when we talk on the phone. We will often end the call with something like this. Tell everyone hello from me, or tell everyone there hello from us. You wish them well, and you wish the other people well also. Or you say, have a good day, essentially meaning, may it go well with you. Greetings, then, in general, are a way in which we let others know that we love them, that we're thinking about them. Goodbye. I hope it goes well with you. Tell everyone there hello from us. We hope the Lord is blessing you very well. We miss you. We hope things will go well for all of you. This is what normal greetings are. The greetings in the New Testament are essentially functioning the same way. But they go beyond the relatively empty phrases that unbelievers use. Again, a similar ending would be found in the Greek letters in Paul's day, but those endings would most likely be filled with empty phrases that don't really mean much. Paul obviously gives us much, much more in this greeting. Paul is giving a final greeting to the church, to Christ's bride, and he gives this greeting in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have much more here in this greeting than a simple goodbye that we would find among the Greeks in Paul's day, or even among unbelievers in our day. So then this is nothing less than, friends, God the Spirit sending greetings to the church. That's what we're looking at today. And communicating grace to us as well. Now, three times in verse 21, Paul uses some form of the word greet. So over and over again, you have that word, greet, greet. He first uses it by giving somewhat of an exhortation in the first instance of this use. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. That's essentially a command. Do this. greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Now, this phrase here, this sentence from Paul, could be understood in different ways. Paul may have been addressing the officers in the church. We saw in the beginning of chapter 1 that he distinctly names the overseers and the deacons. To the church in Philippi, with the overseers and the deacons, he puts them at the beginning to notify them that he's thinking of them, that he greets them at the very beginning. Now here at the end, he could be talking to them, to the officers, the overseers and the deacons. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus for me. That may be what he was talking about. In the beginning, we see that he and Timothy were writing to all the saints in Philippi with the overseers and deacons. So he may have been saying to them in particular, elders, deacons, take the lead in greeting every saint in Christ Jesus. That may have been what he was communicating to the leaders in this church. Now, this is a good lesson for us because, in general, a church is only as welcoming and only as loving as the leaders are. If the leaders are welcoming, if the leaders are loving, then so too, most likely, that is how the church will be. Pastors, elders, and deacons, they are to be on the front lines in our worship services and our church gatherings, doing just this, greeting all the saints, making people feel at home, making people feel welcome, greeting them. Now, of course, we want to make visitors and newcomers feel welcome. We usually have a lot of energy for that. When we get new people, new families into the church, we want to make them feel at home, greet them, of course. But Paul says, greet every saint in Christ. And so we should spread it around. And the officers in the church are to take the lead in this. Now, as we think about this, friends, how often do we as Christians, in our various areas of life that we live throughout the week, how often do we feel very unwelcome in this world? How often do we feel rejected by the world? It can be quite often, if you think about it. Our gathered assemblies for worship and the other times of fellowship that the church has, these should be the times when we feel most welcome. This is the place where we should feel most at home, accepted, loved, welcomed. This is it. This is the church. This is who we are to be. And so these are the kind of greetings that we should give one another. In particular, the leaders should take the lead in this. The overseers and deacons. The church is not a clique, friends. It is not a social club. We are the body of Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. All of us as believers are united to Christ. And so it's a very different community than the ones that you find out in the world. We are the kingdom of God. We are a royal priesthood made up of believers from all over the world with all kinds of backgrounds. We have all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of fears, all kinds of anxieties. We have all kinds of struggles, all kinds of weaknesses and strengths. The diversity is seemingly infinite. But we are bound by that unity that we have in Christ. This is where we belong. We may think with all of those differences we belong elsewhere, but that is not the case, and that is not what we see in this text. This is where we belong. Christ has made us all welcome at his table. With all of our sins, with all of our failures, Jesus never stops greeting us. He never stops welcoming us, does he not? He never stops greeting us with his love. And so that is the kind of greetings that should be experienced in the church. For every saint in Christ Jesus, we should all greet each other. Now, at the same time, we learned in this letter that this church was to watch out for the dogs, to watch out for the evildoers. There were false teachers that were causing problems in the church, and they were to be on guard against them. In fact, in Romans, Paul says to avoid certain people. They were false teachers. He doesn't say greet them. He says avoid them. And so it would be difficult to warmly greet a false teacher if we know that that's what they're taking part in. And so we want to be wise. We want to be wary of those types of things. But in general, we are to greet one another. Make everybody feel welcome. Make each other feel welcome. Now, this may be the other way that Paul meant this, that every Philippian should greet every other Philippian believer. Greet the saints in Christ Jesus. So he's maybe communicating to the whole church. Greet one another. Make each other feel welcome. Whatever Paul meant, this greeting would include greetings from himself. Like in Colossians, Paul says, "Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and to the church in her house." And then again in that same letter in Colossians, he says, "I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand." Paul, in his greetings, he was essentially saying hello and goodbye. He said much more than that, of course, but he was greeting the church. He started the letter with a warm greeting, and he's ending the letter with a warm goodbye. He's essentially saying, hello, goodbye, I love you, I'm thinking about you, I miss you, send my love to all. But also give love to one another. Share love with one another. Encourage one another. Greet one another. Greet every saint in Christ. Not just the ones that dress and look like you. Every saint in Christ. Greet them. Make them feel welcome. Jesus does not discriminate in this way, friends. He does not discriminate in terms of the way in which and how he greets us in the gospel. And so that is how we are to be. At the end of Thessalonians, Paul says, "Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss," which meant that the Thessalonians would have to be physically present with one another to do this. Paul could not be with the Philippians in person while he was in jail. He simply could not be there in flesh and blood. And so he sends his love by letter, "Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus." But no doubt, friends, these final greetings from Paul meant also, even though he was away from them physically, and he's giving greetings to them through a letter, it meant also, "I wish I could be with you. I wish I could be with you in person to tell you myself hello and goodbye and grace to you, to greet you properly." So warm greetings in the church. This should be a trademark activity in the life of God's people. Paul also sends warm greetings from the brothers who are with me. Now, this would have at least included Timothy, who is mentioned at the beginning of the letter, Paul and Timothy to the church in Philippi. Timothy was right there beside him. He's mentioned by Paul as his spiritual son. And so this certainly would include Timothy as one of the brothers who greet the saints in Philippi. But this may have also included the brothers who are mentioned in chapter 1. There are brothers there who Paul talks about who became more bold to speak the word without fear. They were the ones who preached Christ sincerely. They heard about Paul's chains, and they got more courageous because of what Paul was going through, and yet he was still working, still ministering the gospel. They were emboldened to preach Christ all the more. And so it may have been those brothers who were around him or near to Paul at this time who send their greetings. They also send their greetings. Paul then extends the flow of greetings even out further. Verse 22, he says, "All the saints greet you." Now, if Paul was in prison in Rome, this greeting would come from all the believers in that area. All the saints greet you. This would have been all the believers near to him in Rome, if he was, in fact, in prison in Rome. And remember, he's writing to Philippi, which is a ways away. He simply, what we see here from these words, when Paul mentions all the believers in that area, was that Paul never stopped working. He's still ministering the gospel. He's still encouraging, talking, greeting other saints in that area where he's in prison, as much as he's able. And so he still has contact with them. He never stopped working, even though he probably could have been entitled to a little break while he's in chains. He chose not to do so. He never stopped working. He's ministering to the saints in Macedonia, Philippi. He's ministering to the saints in the area of Rome. He never stopped working. He also specifically names a particular group of Christians here when he does this. In verse 22, he says, "All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." Now, Caesar was the Roman emperor at the time. It may have been Emperor Nero, who was the Caesar that Paul mentions here at the end of this letter that he was talking about. Nero was often credited with the great persecution of Christians when he reigned. The household of Caesar may have been those who served in his imperial court. So Caesar's court, whether or not it was Nero, it was a Caesar, it was an emperor. And so this household that Paul names here, they were people who served in the imperial court of Caesar, or most likely served in his court. Now, these individuals may have been slaves at a time, or freed slaves who had risen in the ranks and of Roman power, and so much so that they are now called part of the emperor's entourage. They are part of Caesar's household. They're so connected to him that's how Paul refers to them in this way, his household. Now, if this was the case, then these people that Paul mentions here are with no small amount of wealth and influence. These are powerful people with much resources that send their greetings to the church in Philippi. They are believers. They are saints in Christ Jesus, right along with Paul, who's in jail, right along with Timothy, who's with him, right along with all the saints in Philippi who received this letter. This household that worked very closely with the most powerful man in the world at the time, Caesar himself. They're Christians. They send their greetings. They send their greetings through Paul to the other Christians living in Philippi. And thus, here we have evidence of the gospel of God advancing in the world, advancing in the hearts and minds of the people of God. These are people that were growing in grace right under the emperor's nose. Remember how Paul had talked about earlier that the gospel was progressing even while he's in chains? Here's evidence of that. And that's what the gospel does, friends. We don't always see it, but it's moving, it's active, it's alive. The word of God is alive. It moves in the hearts of his people, and it can move even into the very ranks of the highest people in the land, right under the emperor's, right at the emperor's doorstep, his very own household. Now, Paul had already, again, he'd already talked about how the gospel had progressed. Here we have a very clear indication of one of the ways in which it progressed. The other way was through the imperial guard. The people guarding Paul were hearing about Christ. So the gospel never stops moving. The word of God never stops working. It never stops moving. It's always advancing, even though we can't see it all the time. Friends, God does not... What does this mean for us in particular as Christians? Well, know this. God does not waste moments in our history. There's nothing left over at all in what God does with you in your history as a Christian. Everything contributes to the kind of person he's making you to be. Every event, every moment serves to advance his glory in the world through you one way or another. So nothing is wasted, friends. Even our mistakes, even our failures. God uses that for his glory. The word of God is always advancing in his people. We also here have another glimpse of the kind of diversity that these believers enjoyed in the kingdom at this time. You have Paul, who's a Jew. He's a full-blooded Jew at that. Remember, he called himself a Hebrew of Hebrews in this letter. You have Timothy, who's half Jew, half Greek. You have Epaphroditus, who is likely full Greek. In the book of Acts, we hear of the woman named Lydia, who was the first convert at this church, the first convert in Philippi. She was a seller of purple goods. She had the disciples stay in her house for a time after she was converted. So she has some resources available because of her business and the purple goods. There was a Philippian jailer who was converted. We have Udia and Syntyche, who are mentioned in this letter, two women who were in a disagreement with one another for a time. And now Paul mentions the household of Caesar. Now, these Christians lived lives very close to the most powerful ruler in the world at the time. And here, these Christians are making sure that their loving greeting is sent to the Philippians. Do you see the range of backgrounds, the range of activity that those believers we've just named, and that wasn't all of them, a full range of activity, the range of backgrounds, the full gamut of where these people came from and what they were part of as Christians in this world. It's very diverse. It's very different. And so again, we are the body of Christ, friends. We make up many members with very different backgrounds, very different activities, sometimes very different ways of doing particular things. But we are called to greet one another, to make everyone feel welcome. With this greeting, we have also a revelation of who we are, friends, as the church and what we are called to be. Again, and I think this is where we get to feel the full force of the Holy Spirit at work in this greetings. With this these final greetings, we are reminded of who we are fundamentally and what we are called to be. Friends, these characteristics define us. This definition also distinguishes us from unbelievers in the rest of the world. Again, we're not a social club. We're not a clique. Those things fade away. This, what we have together, does not. And what we are about to look at now is what distinguishes us from those other groups. First, we are saints. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Verse 22, all the saints greet you. Saints, the word saints, comes from a word that means holy. We are the holy ones. Out of all the world, you are holy. The rest are not. Out of all the world, you are set apart for service to God. You are made holy as God is holy. You are set apart in a world full of unholiness to be holy, to worship God, to serve Him in love. We have been set apart in the world by God's grace for a holy use, for holy worship, and holy service. That is what it means. When you see that word, saints, that's what that means. You are different. You are fundamentally different than the rest of the world. We are those, well, how are we different? Well, we are those who hear the word of God and we do it. We believe it. We respond to it with obedience for the sake of holiness. So we are saints. You are holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are also family members, brothers. The brothers who are with me greet you. Earlier, Paul used a word that is translated brothers in most English translations, but really the Greek word means everyone. It means brothers and sisters. By the bond of the Spirit, we are family members in God's family. This is who we are. Paul refers to the church as members of the household of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. This is who we are fundamentally. Now, the bond of blood runs deep, does it not, in families? It runs deep, and the pain that is caused in families is an intense pain. And an intense joy that can be had in blood families as well. But the bond that is in Christ through the power of the Spirit runs even deeper, friends. This is a bond that you and I share that extends into eternity. It extends into the age to come. We will still be members of the household of God in the age to come. As Christians, we may have to experience the pain of division. We may have to experience the pain of rejection in our own blood families, which gives us another reason why we should encourage one another in the church. It gives us another reason why we should greet one another with warm greetings. This is the place where we should feel welcome. Even when your own blood family, possibly because you are a Christian, makes you feel very unwelcome. It should not be so here. Greet one another. Greet each other as you would members of your very own family, because we are family, friends. We are family. And that's how we are to regard one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. So we are holy, we're saints, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are this because of our union with Jesus Christ. Verse 21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Now, friends, you and I are holy. We are members of God's household because God gave you faith and united you to His Son. We are holy by virtue of the fact that we are united to the Holy One. We are members in God's family by virtue of the fact that we are united by faith to God's very own Son. And so we enjoy all the privileges of sonship in Christ. That is why we can refer to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, because of Him, because of the Son, because of the union that we have in Him. And therefore, friends, this is the point I think we need to fully appreciate here. When we greet one another, we greet Christ Himself. When we welcome one another, We welcome Christ himself. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, greet one another. That is the thrust of this passage. Now, how can we say that for sure? What does Jesus say at the end of Matthew? He's talking about the separation of his people from all the people in the rest of the world. And he turns to the sheep. And what does he say to the sheep there? The people that he receives into his kingdom at the end of the age. What were they like in this life? This is what Jesus was saying at the end of Matthew. What were they like? I was a stranger and you welcomed me. We greet Christ himself when we greet one another. We welcome Christ himself when we welcome one another in the church. I was a stranger, Christ says. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Greet one another in the Lord, friends. The greeting that the Jews and the Romans gave Jesus was crucifixion. That was their hello to him. Thank God it wasn't a goodbye. It was a goodbye for a time. He didn't stay in the grave. But that's how they welcomed Jesus into the world, by putting him on a cross. Jesus endured that so that we might be welcomed. He endured that so that we might feel at home here, so that we might be greeted. That is what was required for us to be greeted by God himself in the fellowship of his household. Now Jesus says to us, greetings. He says, hello, come, you are welcome. I've paid for your sins. Now friends, we can have assurance in all of this. By virtue of our union with Jesus, true grace, undeserved favor and blessing. That is what grace is, undeserved favor and blessing. True grace, mercy, strength flows to our very souls by the power of the Spirit. That is what Paul is praying for here. Grace from the Lord Jesus Christ to your spirit. True grace, true strength, true spiritual renewal happens by virtue of our union with Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we hear these words, verse 23, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. God's greeting us. Jesus is greeting us with those words. And so to the saints at Providence, fellow members of the household of God, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.